Well, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. I am sure glad that we know the Lord.
Amen.
Oh my, what a crazy world it is, and oh my, we are so blessed to know Him. Amen. To have a peace, to have a joy, to have a promise, to know the Lord, all those wonderful things that are ours. Because most people don't live in that realm. Yes. Praise the Lord. Let's pray as we begin here tonight and ask God to have His way. Oh, Heavenly Father. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we do come to You, Lord Jesus. We do come to You, Lord, for, oh God, You invited us to come before Thy wondrous throne. Oh God, You have put something in our hearts, oh Lord, that, oh Lord, keeps us day by day and gives us strength and gives us courage, gives us victory, Lord. Oh God, it helps us to continue, Lord, that faith that we need to walk this road, oh Lord Jesus. And I pray, oh Lord, that You would be here tonight. I pray that Your word would talk to each and every one of us, Lord, that, oh God, oh Lord, You'd give us the words of life that we have need of, the encouragement, the strength, the faith, the victories, Lord Jesus. For You know every trial, You know every setback. And I pray, O Lord, that You'd help us here today in Jesus' name by the power of the blood. Let Your word have free course, Lord. I can do nothing without You. And I pray that You would strengthen me, O Lord, with Your spirit to know, use this message for Your kingdom's sake, for Your people's sake, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. And I just guess I will mention this verse because it seems like it was somewhat questioned by a certain email I received today. But anyway, I am not yet a great-grandmother. As far as I know, something has happened in the last few minutes, I think. But anyway, the contractions stopped for my granddaughter, and so she didn't have the baby on Sunday, and it seems like it still has not arrived. Praise the Lord Jesus, but your prayers are greatly appreciated, and I know Jane still needs a lot of prayers. I did have quite a conversation with her, and oh my, she's got a lot of healing after those two surgeries, and I don't think they proved anything other than that the seizures are coming from both sides of her brain, which I thought they already knew myself. But anyway, oh my, by the grace of God, God has other ways. He has ways of going about the helps that we need, you know, beyond any man. Praise the Lord. And I'm so thankful that we can put our trust in Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, we're going to call this message, and God gave me this title early this morning. It's Peace Like a River. Peace Amen. Like a River. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we'll be going through some scripture, and I hope it will help each and every one of us. Yes, we're going to talk about how peace is the promise of God, something that He has, you know, ordained for His people. And then secondly, we're going to talk about how peace is an attribute of the people of God. Amen.
Amen.
That peace that God has promised and the peace that He gives to us, He wants it to be in our lives, an attribute and something, oh yes, that's obvious as we walk this earth. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. And indeed, you know, it's a crazy world, you know. We don't know what to think. We've got all these data centers being built, and you know, there's one here in Beaver Dam, and you know, there's a lot to ponder. They're huge. At least the one in Beaver Dam looks very huge. I don't think it's quite all up and going at this moment. They're still getting everything set and hiring people and all that kind of thing, as far as I know. But anyway, it's very big. And you know, you just wonder what all happens within those walls. What is the purpose of all of that? does seem like AI has already been a big part of the world that we live in. You know, I do believe a great percentage of the materials that we read or hear even are, you know, originate from AI. And already it's kind of hard to know what is actually the truth and what is a storytale, you know, a fable, you know, something that people have just invented with their own minds, or not even people. I don't even know how that all works with AI. I know we've had certain information and works upon that, but oh boy, it may seem like it has a mind of its own at times from different things I've heard. But anyway, praise the Lord. God is faithful, God is true, and we are the children of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And He has a peace for His people. Amen. A peace beyond the peace of this world. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Let's look in some scripture now. Praise the Lord. Let's go, first of all, to Psalms 119. And some beautiful portions of scripture in this wonderful long chapter. But we're going to go close to the end here, Psalms 119, and I'm going down to verse 165. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, 165. It says, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." And I think that in itself is so beautiful, you know. And surely the psalmist who penned Psalms 119 had a great love for the Lord. You know, just reading that portion here called Shin here, where, you know, there's these very potent verses. It says in 161, "Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word." And then, oh, you can see the love for God's word in this next verse too. It says, "I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil." Praise the Lord. And yes, that's how God's word should be to us, that treasure that's beyond any other treasure, that treasure is so great that we want to hide it in our hearts, and we want to live by it, and we want to walk by it. We want to know it to the very best of our abilities. And then it tells us, "I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love." Oh, praise the Lord. "And seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments." Oh yes, I believe this psalmist just, you know, had his mind fixed upon the scripture. Amen. And to the best of his ability, I believe he was living by it. And yes, then verse 165 again, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." The next three verses read, "Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments." And we can understand just maybe a little bit how they were on the other side of Calvary. And, you know, there was a great longing in the heart for the salvation of the Lord. And, you know, looking to that moment when the Messiah would come. And yes, this writer, yes, he had done what he felt he needed to do to please God. He had done his commandments. "My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee." Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, there's an understanding there that God was watching him and seeing him continually. Oh, I believe it was a cry of the heart to please God. Yes, to keep his precepts and testimonies. And oh, wow, this is an individual who was very dedicated in that manner. Amen.
Amen.
But yes, here, the one that I want to emphasize, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Oh, praise the Lord, because we're anchored in the Lord, the Rock of Ages. Praise the Lord, you know, we don't have to be offended by all the things of this world and all the things that go wrong and all the people that try to poke fun on us or, you know, mock us or whatever all. Because, yes, we know the law of God is in our hearts and we are following the Lord Jesus. And we have a peace that passes understanding all that he gives to us. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus emphasized peace too. And of course, some very familiar scripture here in John in chapter 16, as Jesus was on his way to Calvary. Let's just read this last verse here in the 16th chapter, verse 33. John 16, verse 33. And here Jesus said, you know, as he knew that hour was coming when, you know, they would come and get him, you know, and his disciples would be scattered and he would be left alone. But he said in verse 33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, we are told quite clearly here that, yes, as we walk this earth, we're going to have trouble. We're going to have tribulation. Things aren't always going to go perfect. In fact, when do they go perfect? Maybe once in a little bit, and you know, and then for a little while, and then, you know, funny things begin to happen, and, you know, mistakes and, you know, problems and everything else. But yes, Jesus warned us, in the world ye shall have tribulation. But oh, praise the Lord, we have a hope beyond this world. And oh, yes, we know that with the Lord's help, we can overcome this world because Jesus enables us. He gives us power. He sent forth the Holy Ghost. Yes, because he overcame, he has given us the power to overcome the world likewise. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But oh, yes. His great thought here was that despite everything, we would have peace in Jesus Christ. Amen. And it's emphasized also in John 14, as we look at that verse here, John 14, verse 27. Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Oh my, you know, we can be overwhelmed at times or, you know, gear that way, but, you know, Jesus would desire that we would have peace, his peace, the peace that he left with us.
Amen.
Not the peace that the world giveth, you know, oh my, that is so temporary and that is, you know, there for a moment possibly and it's so fleeting and, you know, so unlasting. But oh my, Jesus, he came, yes, to give us peace, to leave it with us, to put it in our hearts, amen, so we don't have to be troubled by all the upsetting things that happen in this world and all the struggles and all the crazy things that we witness all the time. So he said, yes, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, thank God Jesus offered us his peace, amen, and it's ordained for the people of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. We can walk in it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It can fill our hearts. Amen. Let's go to Isaiah now. Isaiah, and this time, go to Isaiah chapter 26. And here, as Isaiah was prophesying, He says in verse 12 of Isaiah 26, foretelling, oh yes, the great gift that Jesus would give us, his peace that passes all understanding. He writes, Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou also hast wrought all our works in us. Oh, praise the Lord. And it's a beautiful thing to know how God takes our lives. Oh, to turn us away from all the turmoil and trouble of this world that, you know, easily seeks to trouble us and causes, oh my, to, you know, be disturbed and even frightened at times if we would allow it. But yes, Isaiah knew that God would ordain peace for his people. He says, for thou also hast wrought all our works in us. And that's very neat, the way that is stated there, to wrought, to work, you know, to fashion. And thank God, you know, that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And the Lord takes us. Oh, that old man, that old creature, and, you know, he begins a new work in us. So that, oh, yes, we can be a creature in Christ. Oh, yes, we can live in that other realm that God has ordained for his people to live in. Amen. We can live in the realm of faith. I love how it's stated also in Ephesians, the second chapter. Looking at verse 8 here for a moment, it reads, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We know we could do nothing, oh my, of ourselves to get right with God, but oh yes, we come to him, and he does the work in us. And praise the Lord, verse 10 tells us, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Praise the Lord. Amen. I kind of think that's what Isaiah was getting at there, here in that 12th verse in Isaiah 26. Praise the Lord. God ordained that, you know, his people under his new covenant would be his work, his workmanship. And yes, we're created in Christ Jesus. He takes us out of nothing. You know, all our worthlessness, all our vanity, all our pride, all our selfish desires, all the attributes we had before we knew Jesus Christ. He begins to make us that new creature, his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, not according to the old ways, oh my, but according, oh, to the ways of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Oh,
amen.
Praise the Lord as he redirects our lives and changes us, and, oh my, changes our thinking, and oh my, all our tendencies, our emotions, everything else as we yield it to him. And of course, as this chapter begins here, Isaiah 26, we know that, oh, it is prophesying of the wonderful day when the Messiah would come. Verse 1, it reads, in that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, we're talking about a spiritual strength in this verse. Oh, yes, a time, oh, yes, when we would be saved from our old man, or from our old works. And God would bring forth salvation, oh, yes, to work in us. And then it tells us, open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. And praise the Lord, I love that. Oh, yes, when he opened up the gates, so oh, yes, so that we could enter in. Oh, God, thank you, Lord. We could enter in to the kingdom of heaven. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, when we could be saved from our old works. And oh, yes, the gate of salvation was opened, that door, so that we could come in to God's plan of fullness, his plan of salvation. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, that moment when it opened up to us, when we had that understanding, oh, yes, that we could come in and live in his world, in his realm. Praise the Lord. And it tells us in verse 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, that perfect peace. When our minds are stayed upon Jesus Christ. Oh, it's so valuable to meditate upon his word. Oh, yes, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Oh, it's so important because, yes, when our minds are geared on God's word, when they are stayed on God's word, or stayed meaning fixed on God's word, then, oh, praise the Lord, we have that perfect peace, oh, that he gives his children, praise the Lord, because, yes, we trust in him. And then, of course, we're told in verse 4, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Praise the Lord, and we know that's where it all is. It's not in ourselves, it's not in our own works, but oh, it's a strength that Jesus Christ gives us. Praise the Lord, oh yes, and it's his peace that he puts within us, oh yes, as our minds are stayed upon him, upon his word, oh, as we are trusting in the Lord, our Savior. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And of course, I like that description of God's peace in Philippians, the 4th chapter, verse 7. Oh, yes, such a beautiful description. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Oh, what's going to keep us in this shaky world where everything is so topsy-turvy and things can change in a moment, and you know, who knows what the next moment may bring forth.
Amen.
But praise the Lord, we have a promise here in verse 7. A promise from God, amen, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. Oh, it's beyond the thinking of this world, amen. Oh, it's a genuine peace that comes from God. Man can't manufacture it. Man can't bring it forth. But praise the Lord, God gives it to his people. It is his promise, amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Oh, what a precious promise to hold on to. Praise the Lord in such a troubled time. Oh, yes, when there's so many concerns and so many health issues and, oh, you know, at times wondering about the mind even and all this is and that's in this world where things like Alzheimer's and dementia seem to be fairly common. Oh, my, but here we have a promise. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise the Lord. I want to go back to Isaiah now for a while. And I want to go to Isaiah chapter 66. Praise the Lord. And we're going to be talking about that peace like a river. Praise the Lord with his help. Amen. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 66. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Lord is talking. It says in verse 1, "Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word." And yes, I believe that's talking about that attribute poor in spirit there, where it's mentioned in verse 2 there. And you know, it means that we have that humble spirit, not full of pride, not full of ourselves, but relying on the Lord. Oh yes, that attitude, that spirit that knows that we need Jesus. Amen. And that contrite spirit, oh, that spirit that, you know, looks to God and realizes, we need him, you know, and you know, that repentant spirit that is contrite and one that God can obviously respond to, therefore. Amen. And because of that, one that troubleth at God's word. Amen. That's the individual that God will look to. And then it's told us in verse 3, "He that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man. He that sacrificeth a lamb, as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offereth an oblation, as if he had offered swine's blood. He that burneth incense, as if he blessed an idol." And then it's declared, "Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their own abominations." I believe God is saying here, you know, no matter if you did offer sacrifices in the time of the old covenant, it wouldn't mean a thing unless your heart was right with God, unless you had the right attitude and spirit. It wouldn't mean a thing. And yes, it's describing a people that God could not look to because they had not turned to him. They did not esteem his word. They were not trying to follow it like the psalmist there in 119. Instead, they had chosen their own ways, and they were rebellious ways. And even beyond that, their soul was delighting in their abominations. They were doing things that God hated, and they were delighting in them. Oh, no wonder, no matter if they did try to sacrifice, it was in vain. It meant nothing to God. And then, yes, because God noted it, oh, he recognized it right away. Well, he knows everything anyway. It says, "I also will choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear. But they did evil before mine eyes and chose that in which I delighteth not." Oh my, you know, God would try to correct them. And yes, sometimes it was his word, sometimes it was his prophets, but oh my, they weren't listening. He called them and asked them, pleaded with them to repent, but they would not hear, and they kept on doing their evil, willful, sinful ways, and they kept on choosing the things that God hated. So therefore, there were going to be consequences. He was going to choose their delusions. And oh my, you know, you don't want to be deluded in this world, in that state where you're deceived. And oh my, to be in delusion, it would mean that you have a false belief or opinion and walking in that. And God was going to put them in that state. He was going to choose their delusions, therefore. And yes, he said, I'm going to bring your fears upon you. You know, if you know the things that you dread, you know, because you did not give heed to my word. When I called, you did not respond. You did not hear. You kept on doing your evil, sinful, despicable ways. And deliberately chose that which was not good, which was not God's ways. Oh my, oh my, yes, there would be consequences. It tells us in verse 5, hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Oh yes, that is the kind of person that God can look to, as we read in the second verse here in this chapter. Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you, they cast you out for my name's sake, said, let the Lord be glorified. But he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. Oh, on that day when all stand before the living God, and all at once, oh, what matters? Were you really serving the Lord? Were you really living for him? And oh my, those false doers, oh my, those hypocrites, those that lived in their own willful disobedience and tried to ridicule, cast out, despise, even persecute, even murder God's people at times, and thought they were doing it in the name of the Lord. Let the Lord be glorified. But no, no, no. God sees the hearts. He knows every detail. And yes, it says, he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. And then, oh yes, Morris told us in verse 6, a voice of noise from the city, a voice from the temple, a voice of the Lord that rendereth recompense to his enemies. A reckoning time, oh yes, is the voice of God speaks forth, ready to come. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord, that day, oh, when he will render to everyone according to their own deeds. And then it asks us here, verse 7, before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who hath heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Oh yes, this world is in travail. Oh yes, as the day of God is coming, approaching closer and closer. And one of these days, oh yes, the whole plan of God will be brought into fruition. And oh yes, it will be that moment. But oh yes, thank God there was a day when the Son of God came forth into this world, oh yes, to bring forth a people that would glorify God, a people that would live in his ways, a people that would walk with him. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, as it's described in 1 Peter, that second chapter, the people of God, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, he would call forth a people. Oh, yes, a people would be his own chosen generation, royal priesthood and holy nation, his own peculiar treasure. Praise the Lord. People that he would esteem and love. Praise the Lord. And yes, it was brought forth by the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. Oh, yes, as he brought forth the new covenant in his blood, praise the Lord. Oh, shedding his blood for our sins. Amen, for the remission of our sins. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And yes, it says in verse 9, shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord? Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, saith the Lord, or saith thy God? And I just, as I was reflecting on that a bit, you know, he calls us forth one by one, his children, his people. And oh yes, he calls us forth, you know, to make a new creation out of us, to bring forth a people, to mold us, to make us what we need to be, to refine us and take us through the refiner's fire and all of that. But praise the Lord, he knows how to get us through this world. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Not just to bring to the birth, but oh, yes, he knows how to take us through this world, to get us to our destination. Praise the Lord, to that place that he's reserved for them that love him. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And then it says in verse 10, rejoice ye with Jerusalem, and be glad with her, all ye that love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all ye that mourn for her. And oh yes, that yearning of the soul, as the prophets foretold of all that new day that the Lord would bring forth. Oh yes, when he'd bring forth a new covenant. Oh yes, and all that time. Oh, that we could truly rejoice and be glad in the Lord. Oh yes, because all those things that were such a hindrance and such a snare. Oh, yes, such a problem, all those sins, oh, that had bogged us down, oh, that interfered with our thinking, oh, my, would be forgiven us, praise the Lord, oh, yes. A new plan, a new purpose, a new creature in Jesus Christ, oh, praise the Lord, and oh, yes, something to rejoice over. Rejoice, ye with Jerusalem, and be glad with her, all ye that love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all ye that mourn for her, that you may suck and be satisfied with the breasts of her consolations, that you may milk out and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. Praise the Lord, oh yes, that we might be nourished by the hand of our God, who knows how to sustain us through this world, no matter what. He knows how to keep us. He knows how to nurture us. Oh yes, he knows how to supply our needs according to his riches in glory. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, and oh yes, oh, you know, the joy that fills our hearts. Oh yeah, the delight. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, as we realize how God has taken us from this world and transformed us, oh, to make us his new creation, calling us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Praise the Lord. And then, oh yes, verse 12. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall ye suck, ye shall be borne upon her sides, and be dandled upon her knees. Oh, praise the Lord, as a mother carries her child up, oh, you know, upon her hip perhaps, and you know, and be dandled, and you know, sometimes, you know, when you get a child and you know, they might be fussy perhaps, and you know, you stand there kind of dancing up and down a little bit to try to, encourage them and calm them down. You know, all these things. But God does it for his people. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. And oh, his purpose, his plan that he was going to give to his people, to his church, to his called out ones, peace like a river. Oh, yes, like a beautiful, tranquil river that flows, and oh, you joy in the sound of it, and oh, yes, you know, the sustaining ability of it. Oh, yes, a beautiful river. And yet, yes, he's comparing all the flowing of that tranquil river as all the peace that he has for his people, the peace that he was reserving for his people even before the time. Oh, yes, and the glory of the Gentiles, like a flowing stream. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, the promise of the Holy Ghost, which would be like a well of water deep down in our innermost being. Praise the Lord. That living water that he gives to his people. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And it says, then shall ye suck. Ye shall be borne upon her sides and be dandled upon her knees. As one whom his mother comforted, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. And I think this word comfort is so fitting here in this 13th verse. Because yes, we know that Jesus promised that he, when he left this world there, John 14, 15, and 16. Oh, yes, when he talks about the Comforter. Oh, yes, he wasn't going to leave us comfortless, but he was going to come to us. He was going to come and make his abode in our person, in our being. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, just as a mother would strive to comfort her young one, her child, God has promised to comfort us. And that we would be comforted in Jerusalem. Oh, praise the Lord. And yes, it was Jerusalem where he sent forth the Comforter, oh, the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, there on the day of Pentecost. Oh, yes, those 50 days after he ascended. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And yes, here he's foretelling it. That yes, not only would he come to his people, but he would comfort them, that we would be comforted in Jerusalem and in the promises that God has reserved for his people. And it says in verse 14, and when you see this, your heart shall rejoice and your bones shall flourish like an herb, and the hand of the Lord shall be known toward his servants, and his indignation toward his enemies. Oh, yes, at that moment when he comes back, his return to judge this world in righteousness, oh, to gather his people. And you know it's going to be such a contrast for those that are not in Jesus Christ. Oh, my, you know, as we just turn back to Isaiah 57 for a moment, we can read on the other side of the coin here. Oh my, to those that do not receive the Lord, who do not walk in his ways, who do not believe in his promises. Amen. Here in Isaiah 57, it tells us, I'm going to go to verse 15 to begin here in this 57th verse of Isaiah. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. And praise the Lord. Oh, yes, he came to this world. Oh, yes, to send forth comfort. Oh, to send forth salvation. Oh, my, to revive us from our dead state. Oh, my, so that we did not have to continue to live in our trespasses and sins. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Praise the Lord. For it tells us in verse 16, for I will not contend forever, neither will I always be wroth, for the spirit should fail before me in the souls which I had have made. And you know that hopeless condition when it doesn't seem like there is any hope in this world. But oh yes, there would be that moment when Jesus Christ would come into this world. Oh yes, to seek and to save those that were lost, to extend his arm so that salvation might be realized. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, that he might call his people to salvation. Praise the Lord. It tells us in verse 17, for the iniquity of his covetousness, which was I wroth. And yes, God has been wroth. And yes, he let his people be taken over by the Babylonians. And even earlier, before that, the 10 northern tribes to the Assyrians. Oh yes, he was sick of their iniquities, oh, of their transgressions, oh, of all their sin, of their attitudes, oh my, the things that they took pleasure in, oh, them connecting with the heathen and learning their ways. No, God was wroth. But oh yes, there was a promise that he would restore, and that he would bring forth hope, that he would not contend forever, as verse 16 brings forth. Oh yes, yes, he was upset, he was wroth, he was very angry, in other words. And yes, in that sense, he smote his own people. He says, I hid me. In other words, he hid from them when they're living in their sin, oh, in all their transgressions. Oh, my, he wasn't going to be out there to instruct them, to lead them, to guide them. No, they were in rebellion, and he was wroth. He was angry, and he went on forwardly in the way of his heart. Oh, my, you see in the stubbornness in the heart, and oh, my, God judged it. But oh yes, there also was a promise of restoration. It tells us in verse 18, I have seen his ways and will heal him. Those that have that meek and contrite spirit. Oh, that he talked about reviving in verse 15. Praise the Lord. I have seen his ways and will heal him. I will lead him also and restore comforts unto him and to his mourners. Oh, praise the Lord, that day when Jesus Christ would come into the world and reconcile the world unto himself. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, and make a way. Oh, that people could come unto him. Oh, yes, to know God. Amen. Oh, that fellowship with God could be restored. Praise the Lord. And all those comforts that are needed also be restored. Particularly sending forth the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, the Comforter, that he might abide in our hearts. Oh, praise the Lord, and lead us and guide us and heal us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. A time of great restoration, a time of hope. Oh, a time of peace. Oh, that he would give to his people. It tells us in verse 19, I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to him that is far off and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. Oh, yes, we see how that was God's desire, that his people would live in peace. Peace, peace, the fruit of the lips. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, peace to him that is far off. That means us Gentiles that were far off from the first covenant of God. And yes, also to him that is near. Also, yes, to the Jews who were participants of the first covenant, saith the Lord. And yes, that promise, I will heal him. Oh, praise the Lord. Beautiful words of life. But then it tells us in verse 20, but the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. Oh, the other side of the coin. Oh, yes. Oh, that restless sea, that troubled sea. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, when it's agitated. And oh, yes, it's troubled. And, the waves are high and they're deep and it's frightening. And oh, yes, it's not at rest. And the waters are casting up mire and dirt. And it tells us in verse 21, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Oh, yes, he has reserved, he has promised peace for his people. But oh yes, to the contrary, for the wicked, oh, that don't rejoice in the promises of God, that don't seek the Lord, that, oh my, don't listen to that call of repentance, call to repentance. Oh yes, that don't give heed. Oh, there's a different response from Almighty God because of that. Oh, our God who is going to come, oh yes, to render his anger with fury. Oh yes, that moment that is ahead of us when, oh yes, he will come again in anger. Oh my, at that moment when it's going to be too late to turn one's heart and life over to the living God. Well, yes, there's such a description that continues in Isaiah 66, verse 14 again. And when ye shall see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like an herb, and the hand of the Lord shall be known toward his servants, and his indignations toward his enemies. And here you see the contrast at his return. Oh yes, those that are in Christ, oh, those that have done his will and fulfilled, oh yes, the plan of God, turning from their sins and obeying the gospel message. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, such a contrast here. But on the other hand, indignation toward his enemies. Oh my, that day says, for behold, the Lord will come with fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by a sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. Oh yes, when he comes forth to judge this world in righteousness, his righteousness, oh my, oh what a moment that is going to be. You know, there's such a description here in Matthew 25. Oh, that moment that is being described here in Isaiah 66. That moment when he comes forth. Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Glorious high throne from the beginning. Oh, that is the place of our sanctuary, as Jeremiah wrote in the 17th chapter of Jeremiah. And here he comes to sit upon that throne. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another. By nations here, it means, I believe, all the people that have ever lived. Oh yes, the resurrection of the dead, and all come forth to stand before that throne. Oh, that high throne, that glorious high throne that we can't even begin to fully imagine at this moment. Oh yes, when he comes forth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then it will be all the people, all the nations, that shall be gathered. And at that point, there's going to be a separation. And he shall separate them one from another, as the shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. And it tells us, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. And then it tells us, then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. And all those good works that follow us, because we are in Christ Jesus and we have become his workmanship. Praise the Lord, the things that we do because of our changed lives, our attitude, oh, and everything, oh yes, that is now, you know, spiritually, heavenly bound. Praise the Lord, and the things that we do for one another are credited as unto the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
But again, to the contrary, on the other hand, verse 41, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. It tells us, Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Verse 45, then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And they shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Oh, such a contrast on that day. Oh my, when all comes, oh yes, to its final destiny, one way or the other. Oh yes, when all stand before that great white throne. Oh yes, oh, that our God is upon. Oh yes, that moment. And all at once he comes forth to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire as described in Isaiah 66. For by fire and by a sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens behind one tree in the midst, eating swine's flesh and the abomination, and the mouse shall be consumed together, saith the Lord. I believe that verse is talking about those that work abominable works. Oh, yes, that God hates, that God will disregard. Oh, my, and he's talking about them being consumed at that moment when he comes to plead with all flesh. For I know their works and their thoughts. It shall come that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. Oh, it's that moment. Oh, yes, that Paul talked about in the Epistle of Philippians, that second chapter, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that moment that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Oh, that moment when it all comes forth, when the blinders are taken off the eyes, and all at once there's that understanding, oh, that Jesus Christ indeed, oh, is the Son of God. Indeed, he is the Messiah. He is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. Oh, yes, he is the one that is higher than any other being that could ever be imagined. And oh yes, that great need, oh, to bow the knee and to confess that he is Lord. Amen. And they're going to gather, and they shall come, they shall all see his glory at that very moment. And it talks about those that have escaped of the nations, and I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape of them unto the nations, to Tarshish, Pol, and Lud, that draw the bow, to Tubal and Javan, to the isles afar off, that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. And I believe there it's talking about a people, oh, that are called forth, the people of God, the Gentile people. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Tarshish seems to indicate Spain, Pole, and Lund, perhaps maybe places in Africa, Tubal, you know, that could indicate a place by the Black Sea, and Javan, he seems to indicate Greece. But oh my, I believe this verse is relating, oh, to the strangers that God has called forth into his kingdom, oh, the Gentile people that heeded the gospel and turned to the living God. Praise the Lord, and oh, they shall come forth. Oh, yes, and they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Lord out of all nations, upon horses, and in chariots, and in litters, and upon mules, and upon swift beasts, to my holy mountain, Jerusalem, saith the Lord, as the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel unto the into the house of the Lord. Oh, yes, as a people of God come forth. Oh, yes, together. Oh, on that new heaven and new earth, that city of God that comes down from God out of heaven, the new Jerusalem, I believe. Praise the Lord. It says, and I will also take of them for priests and for Levites, saith the Lord, out of the Gentile people that God has called forth, all kings and priests unto God, as described in Revelations, the first chapter and verse 6. And it tells us in verse 22, for as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. Oh, praise the Lord. That's a beautiful promise here. Oh, yes, those new heavens that God is bringing forth, that new earth that he will make, it's going to remain. It will never be diminished. It will never end. Oh, my, it is forever and forever. And so is the seed of Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, and those that are his, their name remaining forever. God's elect, no end. Praise the Lord. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me. For their worms shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. Oh, that moment, oh, those that have not listen, who not, have not obeyed, oh my, there's going to be carcasses that can be observed, obviously, but their worm doesn't die. Oh, yes, in Mark, the 9th chapter, Jesus spoke of this very thing. Oh, my, in the great need, oh, to get right. You know, if there's something that offends us, that something would keep us out of the kingdom of God, we've got to let it go, as it tells us in Mark, that 9th chapter. Oh my, but oh yes, the spirit that lingers in that awful condition where the fire is not quenched and where their worm does not die. So the soul, you could say the spirit is there in that horrible state, also clearly described in Mark the 9th chapter also. Amen, amen. But oh yes, there is a peace that God has ordained for his people, a peace, oh yes, that would be extended like the peace of a river, as it tells us in that 12th verse here in Isaiah 66. And yes, God has ordained that his people would walk in that peace, and that this peace that passes all understanding, oh yes, that is a part of our life, oh yes, that God has ordained would be an attribute of his children. Praise the Lord. Let's look at a few verses here while we have yet a little bit of time yet. Isaiah again, chapter 32 this time.
Chapter
32. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 32. And I'm going to go to verse 17 in this case. Isaiah 32, verse 17. And it reads, "And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever." And just let's just dwell on this for a moment here. We know that we have no righteousness of our own. The sight of God, he tells us, Isaiah chapter 64, our own righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the eyes of God. We could never do enough nice things to appease God of ourselves. But praise the Lord, we know the glorious plan of God, that, oh yes, he would give his people, those that tremble at his word, those that have that poor and contrite spirit, those that are willing to bend their knees and repent and turn from their ungodly ways and obey that command to be baptized in his name. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, to those that fear him, that tremble at his word, that obey the gospel, he gives us his righteousness. Praise the Lord. He clothes us with his righteousness so that when we stand before him, God doesn't see our faults. He doesn't see our failures. He doesn't see our sins. He doesn't see our transgressions. He doesn't see the old man. But oh, praise the Lord, he puts upon us that robe of his righteousness. Praise the Lord, so that we can stand there before him without sin, without blemish. Praise the Lord, right in the sight of God. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
It's a beautiful thing, amen. Yes, and it tells us, "And the work of righteousness shall be peace." Oh, the peace that he puts in our hearts. Oh, yes, that's a work of righteousness. And it tells us the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, the things that God has reserved for them that love him. But oh, yes, peace is to be an attribute of his children. You know, James used this very verse, it seems to me, and this is the way that James states it here. If we can turn to James for a moment here. James chapter 3. Praise the Lord. James chapter 3. And the very last verse, verse 18, it says, "And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." Oh, praise the Lord. You know, it's also stated there when we read of the fruit of the Spirit, one of the attributes that is found in the children of God is peace. Amen. Galatians chapter 5. Let's look at it for a moment. Praise the Lord. We're told in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts." It tells us in verse 25, "If we live the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." But oh yes, that peace that passes all understanding, that peace that Jesus promised, oh yes, that he would give to his children. "Peace I give you, Oh, not as the world give I unto you. You know, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. His peace that he promised, oh yes, that he said, I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. And yes, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes. That peace is a portion of the fruit of the Spirit, an attribute that is in the children of God. Praise the Lord. And also, we know that when Jesus brought forth his Sermon on the Mount, there in the ninth verse of Matthew 5, Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, God has promised a peace for his people. Peace of God, which passeth all understanding, that shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And praise the Lord, yes, he has ordained, oh yes, that peace that would all be like unto a peace, like a river. Oh yes, that we, oh yes, come to and oh yes, feel that fulfillment. But praise the Lord, yes, his peace is deep within us. It is in our hearts. It is the fruit of the Spirit. It is something, oh yes, that we can feel no matter what is going on in this old world. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. That peace that he gives us. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. That wonderful peace like a spirit, peace like a river. Oh, yes, that flows through his people. An attribute. Oh, yes. That peace, oh yes, that comes from God, a fruit of the Spirit, and the work of righteousness. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord that God puts in our hearts that we could know and feel. Praise the Lord. And it will be a reality within us by his help and by his purpose. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Lord.
Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And Lord, I pray that that peace would still every heart, Lord, that that peace would be in each and every one of us. And no matter, oh Lord, what happens in this world, let your peace be a characteristic, oh Lord. Oh, let it be deep within us. Oh, let us not be disturbed. Let us not be agitated. But, oh God, let us go on, oh Lord, to realize that all is all in thy hands, is all under thy control. And you have given us that peace that passeth all understanding, that peace like a river. Praise the Lord in Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Lord.
In closing, we are going to open our chorus book to number 123 and sing Peace, Peace. 123 in the chorus book.
Peace, peace.
Safe, have a wonderful night. Praise the Lord.
Thank you. Thank you.